Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, good to see you once again.
Thank you.
You just got back from a big seminar for training in your field of endeavor. This is something you do every year, this trip to Wyoming?
Yeah, I go to Wyoming, get away for a week, and this one is actually really special. We get to concentrate on our businesses. So this was not really learning about taxes, trust, wills, and everything else on the legal, technical side of life. This is really about taking a moment and building your business. So It's good because as business owners, you got to take a moment and focus in on things, make those fine-tune adjustments instead of always trying to make the big leaps, right? So Fine-tuning life is always good. Fine-tuning business, fine-tuning our faith, fine-tuning whatever we are endeavored in is a really good thing.
Fine-tuning, I'm all for that. Well, how about fine-tuning who you trust with your trust or your will or your other estate planning issues? That's the theme this time, this show. And you want to talk about the power and the trap of trust and how to pick an executor, different fiduciary roles in a trust, and what do you do? So where do we start with this issue?
Yeah, it is a really big issue, and it's a very important issue because we are about ready to hand the keys of the kingdom, our small kingdoms here on earth. We're about ready to hand over the keys to someone, and it's really a big area that we need to discuss. It arises itself in almost every conversation. You know, sometimes a client may have a very trusted kid. They may have an individual that they know is going to be better at this role or that role because, well, they've watched them grow up. They know who their children are. They know exactly who they want to put into this role. But even then, we need to do a kind of a double check. We need to really stop and think through, are we positive that this is the right person? And there's so many different factors in looking at who do we trust? Who do we put into these helper roles? In other words, there's two major times when we have to think about this role. Number one is, what if I have a health incident? So I call that disability. What happens if I have a health incident and I need someone to stand next to me? Well, there's two primary areas that I may need assistance. Number one is my finances. Number two are health decisions. Those may look like very different people. So we're going to talk about that in this series. And then also, what happens when I pass away? So who is going to stand up and deal with the estate? Who's going to marshal the assets or gather the assets? Who's going to go through the closing process of an estate? And then who's going to pay the final estate bills, because creditors have a right to be paid? And ultimately, who's going to deal with their siblings, with charities, with other family members in an honest, upright manner to ensure that the plan, as we've seen it in our mind, actually unfolds when the event happens? So we need to talk about getting the right person into the right role at the right time. Mm. And unfortunately, that's a little bit harder than what it may seem. And the issue, one of the issues also, is it might change over time.
Sure.
So therefore, if we're not in a good relationship with our estate planner, if we're not watching over our estate plan, something may shift, and then what happens? So a lot of different topics that we need to talk about, but we're going to be talking about the helpers and what their fiduciary roles are.
Well, we always assume if we're married that that other person will be the spouse.
Right. That is a good starting position, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, so I've been married for 31 years. Yeah, I think I trust my wife by now. And that's a very natural place to start. So that's a good point. We have a joint checking account if you use a will instrument. So therefore, the joint owner takes over. But what if you don't have your spouse on every account? What happens to IRAs where there is no joint account? If you're in a trust, if you've used a trust as your main instrument for estate planning, then typically in a community property state like Washington is, we build one trust and we put both spouses in as co-trustees. So you simultaneously have access to everything that's in the trust because you're trustees. But again, what about the vehicles? So we don't put vehicles in trust. They're rolling liabilities, and there's a non-probate way to transfer them. So we don't put trusts in we don't put vehicles in trust. Yes, we definitely don't put trusts in a vehicle either.
Mine is dying right now.
And then, again, we're back to the IRA issue, which is that has to stay in someone's personal name. But what if your spouse is having a health incident? Oftentimes, we don't go back and change something if our spouse is having health problems and or is unable to really manage assets or has already passed away. So the assumption that my spouse is always going to be there is a great place to start, but is that really the long-term answer? So we always need to have multiple layers of contingencies in a strong estate plan. So we need to build the layers to ensure that the plan is going to be upheld no matter what life is going to throw our way, because we don't live in a perfect world. And it has the tendency to throw us curveballs. So therefore, what happens when the curveball is thrown? Is your plan actually ready for the curveballs instead of the ideals? So yes, we start with spouses. For singles, unmarried individuals, where do we start there? So we don't have
a spouse.
Or people
who don't have children.
Yeah, or individuals who never had children. So you may start with a spouse, but then the list may run really short after a spouse. Who do we trust? How do we find that person? So yeah, starting with a spouse, a great place, but that's not applicable to everybody, and it may not be applicable further down the road. So we need to kind of pull out this topic of what does it mean to entrust, or who do we trust, or what are the traps of trusting someone when we're about ready to hand them the keys to our finances during our lifetime or the estate as a whole.
Let's back out even a little further then and look at some of the characteristics of what is an honest person. That is something we need to very much consider.
Yeah, definitely. So what type of a person do we need to really think through? And so I came up with, this topic of being honest. I think that if we looked across the board, we would want to start there with determining if we're going to put a person into the role, whether it is a financial role or whether it's a healthcare role. Mm-hmm. Those are the two major roles. We're either going to deal with the finances or we're going to deal with the health. And each of us has a different barometer or a different bar that we have set in our lives to make a determination of whether or not an individual is honest. So I wanted to take a moment and unwind what does it mean to have an honest person step into this fiduciary role and fulfill that. So some people utilize spiritual principles to determine if someone is honest or not. And so if we look at spirituality, I'm going to use, of course, the Word of God, the Bible. I recognize that there are other people with other religions, and they would filter their perspective through that religious viewpoint to make a determination of whether someone is honest or not. So, you know, 1 John 1:5 says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So we have this symbolic picture of what God looks like, light. Light discloses everything. It demonstrates honesty and truth. It shows that everything is front and center, and there is something about light that depicts honesty compared to where the flip opposite is darkness, to where you can't see anything, where you're unable to understand and see what is in front of you. And there is a hidden nature in darkness that light would then open up and allow us to see. So we have this very clear picture in the Word of God of light denoting honesty, denoting truth, versus darkness, which is lies and deception. And Jesus even said in John in John 1:14, John wrote that Jesus came in grace and truth, in truth. So because he is the representation of our Father, he came in that same light. And Jesus talked about that Satan is the father of lies and that everything in him is a lie, that he has no truth within him. So oftentimes we can look at a spiritual value and begin to run our perception of who is honest through a biblical standpoint and align it then with what are the characteristics and what is the representation that our Father has given us and that Christ demonstrated while he walked this earth. And those are pretty good places to start, but we even have to uncover just a tick more to really understand this issue of truth. Truth is not saying how you see it. Have you ever met somebody who just, well, I'm just saying it as it is. I'm just saying it as I see it. Mm. Okay, well, there's almost an abrasiveness in some of that, which is not necessarily truth. Well, it can be truth, but it may not be given by compassion or empathy. It may not be given out of the grace that Jesus walked in because he came in grace and truth, according to John 1:14. And so saying it as it is, we've missed that second component of grace, which says, I'm going to cover truth with compassion and love and kindness, which is a greater representation of our Father than just saying it as it is. So rather, truth is demonstrating proper perspective with accuracy. So proper perspective with accuracy. And we see this all around us. We see that that the news, we see that politicians, we see that that the individuals that have a voice in society one way or another, whether because they're sports stars or movie stars or whatever gave them their platform, that there is something in us that pings us when we are not in truth, when we see that their perception of how they view what is happening in this world is not exactly right. And there's something in us that says, oh, that's not correct. Whether it's a political motivation, whether it is any other societal motivation that then pushes against what we have determined to be truth in our life. And hopefully, as believers, as upright individuals, we have made our truth, our stance, based upon what God says is truth instead of what I say is truth. Mm. That is one of the bigger callings of walking in light, is saying what God says is true, I say is true. What God says is false, I say is false. So truth has to start from a foundation of biblical accuracy. And by that worldview, then we are able to interpret what is going on around us correctly. So when we're thinking about individuals to put into this fiduciary relationship, are they aligning? Are they? Do they hold the same values? Because those values are going to dictate how they use money, how they determine healthcare decisions over us, how they then care for us holistically in both of those categories of finance and health, based upon what they deem to be truth in their life. And so so we need to start with this aspect of honesty. Honesty resonates, or the foundation of it is from a basis of truth. And what do we find as true versus what does the person we are going to put into this major fiduciary role find as true? Are they aligned? I'm not saying that that's the end-all be-all. I'm just saying that that is one factor.
Yeah, pretty high standard. It might be hard to find a person like
this. Well, this could be very true as well. But we have to take a moment to think through this process. Like I said, we're handing over everything that we hold in this earth, at least, as far as financially and our health. We're handing over the keys to somebody. This really does need to be an area that we think through. Mm-hmm. Is that my main motivating factor, that they align with what I value in order to manage my life and what I have in my life. And if you reach the conclusion that is not the biggest factor, that's fine. I've got a couple other factors that we're going to talk about when we get back from break.
Okay, talking about the power and the trap of trust. Who do you trust as you put people in key roles in your estate planning? We'll discuss this further after the break. People are interested, though, in your approach, and they sound like they think that maybe you're a pretty trustworthy person, Paul.
I am.
And they can have you help them with their estate planning. How do they get in touch with you?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Definitely want to apply those biblical principles when it comes to picking a person to be in a fiduciary role in your trust or your estate plan. Talking about that this week with Paul, and this is very important. You can't overstate how important it is to have the right people in those key roles.
You really cannot. It is a big deal. It's making sure that you have that right person, because they are going to be caring for you financially, in your health decisions. So let's take a look at how do we determine if a person is actually aligning with honesty? Because that's really where we started, is the person honest? So number one, do they exaggerate? So if you look at their life, so number one, you should know someone with pretty reasonable certainty. If you are going to use a company, whether it's a law firm, whether it's a CPA firm, whether it's a private company that fulfills fiduciary roles, you know, these are the same characteristics that you would want to balance against a company versus a person. I'm not so sure that these characteristics are going to change regardless of who you put in to your fiduciary responsibilities. So number one, do they exaggerate? Because if they exaggerate in life, if they exaggerate numbers, if they exaggerate results, if they exaggerate what their perception is, then that there is a risk that what they are going to speak, because it's who they are, is going to be an exaggeration, whether it's exaggerating high or whether it's exaggerating low. So exaggeration then is not truth. It is not being perfectly honest. As a matter of fact, I would say that exaggeration is actually lying, because it is not truth. It is not on par with what is perfectly accurate. Remember our definition, that the proper perspective with accuracy. So exaggeration does not align with that definition. It is not accurate. So we need to make sure that we select somebody who doesn't have a tendency to exaggerate, because exaggeration is simply lying. Does the individual keep their word? In other words, there's another word for that, which is called integrity. So do they say what they actually do? Are they always late? Oh, I'll be there. I'll meet you at 10 o'clock, and they show up at 10:10. They show up at 10:15. Now, I know that's pushing a button with a lot of people out there. Right? If you're not 15 minutes early, then you're late. If you're not 10 minutes early, you're late. I don't care which one you use. And then we just have people who are always running behind. And I'm sorry, this is estate planning. This is not supposed to be pushing your buttons today. However, that is not accurate. That is not integrity. If you say you're going to be somewhere at a specific time, less other circumstances, then we need to be there on time. The Bible says, let your yes be a yes and your no be a no. So in other words, an individual should be able to look at me and say, Paul said blank and Paul performed blank. It's an easy formula. Now, does life get in the way? Are there legitimate reasons why somebody ran late or that there had to be a shift? Well, of course. But is that their tendency? Are they always shifting? Are they always making an excuse of what happened and what got in the way? So are they trustworthy because they keep their word? Now, this could also parlay into, are they too positive? So in other words, they don't have an accurate perspective, because if you don't have an accurate perspective, you can't reach accuracy. I get accused of this. I get accused of being too positive. But it could happen the other way around as well, right? I really had to learn. You may not know the backstory of how I got to be an attorney, but I worked for UPS for 12 years. And as a driver, back then at least, you don't come back without an attempt on every single package in your truck, right? So you go out with a packed truck of boxes. You have to pick up new packages, and they expect you to do all that by 5:30 and really like it. So that was never the case. They always gave you more, because they were required to pay us 8 hours. So if you're required to pay somebody 8 hours guaranteed, they're going to make sure that you work for 8 hours and 45 minutes or not 9 hours, to make sure that they're not paying you for something that you didn't do. So when I was clearing out my truck, I would get to a certain point in my day and I'd call my wife and she'd go, well, what does your day look like? And I'd say, I think I'm going to be home at such a time. Now, the reason that I was pushing against it, because I would come home very late most nights, and it's just the UPS way, or it was the UPS way. I don't know if it's still the same, but it was the UPS way, to where I wouldn't get home until 7:30 and 8 o'clock every day. Well, when you have two little girls that are 13 months apart, that gets draining on your spouse. So this became a little bit of tension in our marriage, where I would say, I'll be home around 7 o'clock and not show up until 8. Well, I was setting an expectation with my wife. Why? Because I thought that I could get that done because of Paul's positive viewpoint. But what happened is that that became in place where I became untrustworthy to her. She couldn't count on when I was actually going to walk in the door, because she knew I was trying to compensate for what the reality was, but that didn't help her. So I didn't perceive things properly because I was too positive. Therefore, I couldn't get to accuracy. Therefore, I couldn't get to truth and honesty with her. Well, I try not to do the same thing any longer. I try to give a more accurate. Now, of course, we don't have two children in diapers anymore either. So life is a little bit different. But I just want to use it as an example, even from my own life, that we need to have proper perception in order to get to accuracy. And that's what honesty is. So is someone too positive? Are they overcommitting? Are they making excuses so that misdirects people away from truth? Are they gossipers? Oh, do you want someone who's managing your money to be a gossiper? Because if they're talking about other people behind their backs, what are they going to do behind your back? And now they know the intimacies of your finances or your health. And is that really someone that you want to give the keys to drive your financial life or your health life? I would suggest no, you don't want someone who is a gossiper, someone who you can't have full faith and confidence in, that they're not talking about you behind your back. So gossipers typically lack empathy because they're looking at the wrong thing and they're not empathetic. They are not in the right position to care for you as an individual holistically. That would be a concern of mine. So what characteristics are you looking for? And as a matter of fact, have you even stopped your world to think through what characteristics do I really require of someone who is going to manage my money and manage my health decisions? Or are you simply putting in a kid or someone else out of default instead of thinking through the process? Look, estate planning needs to be strategic. We need to stop. These are big decisions. Mm-hmm. These are going to influence you oftentimes at the end of your life, and they're going to influence the beneficiaries. They're going to have an influence upon family dynamics. If we pick the wrong person, then we are setting the estate plan up to be subject to potential chaos. That's not where we want to be. We got to stop and think through this issue of who do we put in our fiduciary relationships.
Okay, pretty important role, a very important role in your estate plan, that fiduciary role, and how to pick the right people for that. We'll continue this discussion next time. People are intrigued, though, by your approach. They would like to put some trust in you and their trusts and wills and things that they're developing for their estate. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com. Past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.